And I know you're saying, Pastor, I've never seen you drink anything during a message. And then what is that that you're drinking? And why do you have three containers of what you're drinking? I'm going to explain that in a few minutes, and hopefully that example will influence and empower your life.
And now for Enjoy the Day.
Welcome to Brothers of the Word, because brother, you need the word. And I am thankful to Pastor James. He preached upon last week because we were out of the country. And as we came back on Saturday, there was a problem with the plane. And as a result, the plane had been delayed multiple times, and we didn't think it was going to leave, so we ended up renting a van and coming back. But I had to call and ask Pastor James if he could preach, because I wasn't sure whether we would make it back. And fortunately, he preached last week from the message of Why Jesus. But we were actually in Grenada. It's a country that I'd never gone to. Not only had I not gone to it, I'd never heard anybody else who'd been there. And Pastor C. Elijah and I went, Prophet Dexter, Minister Ringo, and a minister from Word of Faith, Charles Houston. All of us went to Grenada. We rented an Airbnb. Each of us had our own bedroom, one of the nicest Airbnbs I've ever seen. And they had a pool in the back. And early one morning, I was sitting out by the pool by myself. Sun was beaming down. And I rarely do this. As a matter of fact, I can't ever recall doing this. And I just asked God, I said, Lord, tell me something great. Just had this feel in a place, never been in an idyllic setting. Perfect weather, perfect pool. And I just asked God, Lord, tell me something great. And I heard God speak just as clear. I heard God speak just as clear, three words. And those three words took on a greater and greater impact the more I thought about them. Tell me something great. And God simply spoke, enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. Seemingly simple, but very complex, and sometimes extremely difficult to do. But Jesus spoke about this in Luke chapter 12, beginning at the 24th verse. This is a New Living Translation. Then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear. For life is more than food, and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and He will give you everything that you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. There was a Roman Latin expression called carpe diem. It's in a lot of academic circles and in a lot of philosophical circles. Carpe diem simply means seize the day. And it's a phrase that comes from the Roman poet Horace. Another translation of it simply means enjoy yourself while you have the chance. Enjoy the day. I want you to think about a fact that you rarely think about, but once you think about it, you'll recognize its pure truth. You are as young right now as you will ever be. Now, it's simple, but it's deep. You are as young right now as you will ever be. And you know, some of us, we get to a certain age and we reminisce and whisk back upon, you know, I remember when I was this age. One day you're going to get to the point and say, you know when I was 75? Yeah, that's going to happen. You know when I was 75, this knee was working good. So you are as young right now as you will ever be in this body. Enjoy the day. These are the things that Jesus told us not to worry about. What you will eat or whether you'll have enough to eat. And you know, we worry a whole lot about that. What are we going to eat? When are we going to eat? Where are we going to eat? You know, folk haven't changed much. In thousands of years, folk have not, even on our trip, that's one of the main things. See Elijah, where are we going to eat? That was the number one thing on our list of concerns, was where and what were we going to eat? 2,000 years ago, Jesus, don't you worry about what you're going to eat. Don't you worry about what you're going to wear. He understood the things and the concerns of the flesh. And that's why God spoke to me. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. And if we can just get those three words in our spirit. And I think Jesus told us those two basic things. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. We stand in front of our closet and just gaze sometimes, so what am I going to put on today? And our closets are bursting at the seams. We've got so many clothes, so many shoes, just so much stuff. And that's one of the things I have at least removed from my list of concerns, because I wear the same thing every day. I have about 20-something different pairs of the same black cargo pants. I have 7 or 8 pairs of the identical shoes. And all I do is keep them fresh. And I never have to sit in front of the closet wondering, what am I going to wear? I've got about 25 pairs of the same black shirt. So I wear the same thing every day, and I waste no energy on what I'm going to wear. And it actually, it's a relief. There's a lightness about it Because I don't have to sit there and waste time figuring out what am I going to wear for the day. What you going to eat? What you going to wear? And those are the two things Jesus said, you know, don't worry about that. Jesus said in Luke 12:25, can all of your worries add a single moment to life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Once death was walking towards a city, and a man saw death, and he asked death, he said, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to take 100 people. And the man said, oh my goodness, let me go warn the city. So the man ran in front of death, hollering, oh, I saw death on the path. He's coming to the city. Death said he's going to take 100 folk. So death came to the city, took his number, and left. And the man saw death walking away. He ran up to death. He said, death! Death said, yes. He said, you told me you were going to take 100 people, but 1,100 folk died. And death said, I only took 100. The other 1,000 died from worry. So do you know how much worry kills us? Medical science acknowledges that 95% of all diseases are psychosomatic, meaning they begin in the mind and in the spirit. That's why Jesus said, well, most of the healing is your faith that's made you whole. So if you can believe and you can think right, it purifies the body, it strengthens and it heals the body. Worry will kill you. And Jesus said, worrying cannot add a single moment to your life. But what Jesus didn't say is this. Worrying can take a whole lot of moments away from your life. So if we learn not to worry, let me just add to that list. Jesus only gave us two. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? What we will drive. Are we worried about what we're going to drive? What kind of house we live in? What others think of us? We worry about the past. Stop worrying about the past. There's not one single thing that you can do about the past. Then we worry about the future. Stop worrying about the future. See, if you enjoy and handle the day, that takes care of the future. The future is usually messed up because of what we do today. So if you handle what you are supposed to do today, you don't need to worry about the future. Then we worry about things we have no control over. Then we worry about people we have no control over. You got all that you can do doing what you're supposed to do. I've got all that I can do doing what I'm supposed to do. I have to turn in a daily report every day to my accountability partner. I got all the listed stuff down of what I'm supposed to do. And then my last line I write in, what is it that I could have done better today? I have no report on anybody else. And it doesn't mean that other folk not doing their job. You find that right and left. Nothing you can do about that. And this is the other thing that I've found in life. People who complain most about other folk not doing their job, usually not doing theirs with a hoot. You ever notice that? The folk who complain the most about other folk not doing their job, when you're, how you doing on what you're supposed to be doing? And they use the focus on other folk to detract that they're not doing their job. You handle what you're supposed to do. Stop worrying about what other folk are doing, because see, when you get to Jesus, and Jesus said he's going to judge, and he says he's going to judge on works. That's in Revelation. He's not going to ask you what anybody else did. He's not going to ask you, well, what your husband do, what your wife do, what your children. He's not going to ask what your pastor do. Did your pastor mess up? Did your pastor fool around? Did your pastor steal the money? Jesus is not going to ask you any of that. He's not going to ask you what, and then pastors, when we get there, he's not going to ask what the congregation did. He's only going to ask, what did you do? Did you do what you were supposed to do? So stop worrying about other folk that you have no control over. Politics, the economy, death, all these things we worry about. And we can't control any of that. These are the top 10 things that Americans worried about last year. This was a poll done last year. And these are the top 10 things. Number one, 60.1% worry about corrupt government officials. Over half of the people are worried about corrupt government officials. Are some of the officials in the government corrupt? Let me ask you another question. Are some of the leaders in the churches corrupt? To be perfectly honest about it, sometimes I got more confidence in the government officials than I do the church officials. I want you to think about this. Jesus had no problem with the government. When he went before Pilate, Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. Pilate was the government. So when Jesus went to Pilate, Pilate says, I find no fault in this man. The church said, kill him, not the government. So I'm just not sure where all this corruptness is. When you go back and we talk about child molestation and all, there's nothing that even come close to the Catholic record. Nothing. When you go back and look over the history of the Catholic Church and all of the molestation, nothing comes close. No government, no sex ring, nothing comes close. So, yes, there are corrupt folk. And there are corrupt folk, period. It doesn't matter where they are. You got some corrupt folk in your family. You got some folk you can't trust. You got some folk who will lie to you. You got some folk who will cheat you. You got corrupt folk in your family. Corrupt folk, it is a nature of life. So stop worrying about corrupt government officials, because there's not one thing you can do about it. They've always been here. They're Republicans. They've always been here, and I got news for you. I don't care how many laws you pass, how many investigations you run, you're always going to be here. So don't worry about the number one worry, corrupt government officials. Number two, 54% economic financial collapse. Is it possible that this country could have a severe and sustained economic collapse? Absolutely possible. But what you going to do? What can you do about that? Not one thing. So if the economy collapses, what's going to really matter is, do you have some money saved up? It's not going to matter whether or not the economy collapses. Are you prepared for it? Are you ready? More likely, it's never going to happen. If it does happen, you'll have a dip and it'll bounce back. But there's no need of you worrying about it. Number three. And Jesus says this. He says, sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven. And the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. So if you put some of your treasure in heaven, you don't have to worry about earthly economic collapse. There's a divine. And see, even God got this church with that Safe in the Ark program. So even if something does happen and you run into severe economic strain, God has a program set out for those who have been faithful with their money to have them covered. So stop worrying about economic collapse. Yeah, it may happen, but God got you covered. Either way you go. Number three, they worry about 52.5% Russia using nuclear weapons. Now, you know, you got a conflict going on over there now. Russia has always been the main U.S. nemesis that people are worried about. China's coming up pretty strong on that now. So in a few years, it's going to be China. I never will remember one of the comedians was talking about nuclear war. And he said, if you can say, what's that, you're in good shape. So there's no need in you worried about nuclear war. More than likely, that is not going to happen. Well, what about Armageddon? Have you read Revelation when it talks about Armageddon? It says that the nations of the earth gather in the valley of Megiddo for war, for Armageddon, but it never says the battle happened. That's why I've learned to read the Bible and read what it says and what it doesn't say. They gathered for war, but it never says they fought. And we just assume that because they gathered for war, that they had this massive nuclear all-exchange, massive earth war. No. Doesn't say that at all. It said they gathered in the valley of Megiddo. Doesn't say they fought. Because all the nations who are nuclear armed understands if I shoot a missile at you, I'm dead. And I can't fire off 100 ICBMs without it causing a nuclear winter and poisoning all of the atmosphere and all of the earth. So if I kill you, I kill me. And the rascal's selfish. They scared to die because most of the leaders, they don't believe in heaven. So they're scared to die. So a nuclear war in all statistical probability is not going to happen. But even if it does, you can't do anything about it. And if you can say, what's that? You're in good shape. Number four, 52.3%. The U.S. becoming involved in another world war. There's nothing you can do about that. It's possible, but not probable. Why? Because all of the major powers understand, particularly those who are nuclear capable, they understand that a major war is mutually assured destruction. And when you look at the geopolitical pattern of war, I shouldn't say this. I'm not going to say it. But if you look at the geopolitical pattern of war, the geopolitical pattern of war right now is one color against another color. It's not the major nations fighting. They're not fighting anybody that's got nuclear arms. Even the situation that's going over right now, and see Elijah and I, we spent a week in Ukraine. So we've been to Ukraine before. The thing that needed to kill us was the water. So, I mean, it's unbelievable. That water, I've never experienced anything like that in my life. It literally, and see, Elijah can tell, am I exaggerating? What did that water taste like? Sewage. That's why I want to see Elijah to tell, because that's literally what it tastes like. It tastes like sewage. I said, the water don't kill you. And we were drinking bottled water, and the bottled water tastes like sewage. So the only water we could drink was carbonated, because the carbonated water covered up the sewage mill. So if I hadn't been there, nobody could have told me that an industrialized nation would have had water, and these were by major bottling companies that tasted like sewage. So even the world conflicts that we're dealing with now, it's unlikely we're going to have another major world war because too many countries are nuclear armed, and they know a world war is going to kill everybody. Number five, 50.6%, people I love becoming seriously ill. It's a concern, but if you're not actively doing anything about it, stop worrying about it. If you're not actively doing anything about it, stop worrying about it. The relative that the brothers of the word have, who's closest and who's oldest, is our mother. Our mother is 90 years old right now. And of course, we worry about something. I don't worry about anything happening to her. I said, Mama Nanny, Mama has lived a phenomenal life, and Mama's as happy as she can be. If I can make it into Mama shape, I'm gonna be real happy. And if Mama leaves here tomorrow, I know where Mama going. And my brother Dale, he said, Mama don't make it into heaven. Ain't nobody gonna make it. So I know where Mama going. So I'm not even worried about Mama. But I'm going to ask See Elijah another question. See Elijah, what do you do for your mother every single week, multiple times a week? Just shout it out.
Take her or make her
fresh vegetable juice. And see, there is a difference between wondering and worrying and doing something about something. He takes her or makes her fresh vegetable juice multiple times every week. Always make sure she's cared for, make sure she's got something to eat, make sure she's got healthy, freshly made vegetable juice. And most of the time, when I've seen at funerals, when folk doing the most hollering, exactly. Yeah. The folk who doing the most hollering have generally put the person through the most hell. So don't worry about somebody you love getting seriously ill or going on to heaven. Do what you're supposed to do so when they transition, and they will, because you can't stop that. They're going to leave you like you're going to leave. So when they do leave, you can say, I have done what I was supposed to do. Don't you be sitting there to catch them and, Lord, I wish I had a... No, do it! Do it! Don't worry about it. Do it. Number six, people I love dying. That's just like number five. Number seven, pollution of drinking water. Yeah, now who would have thought that's in the top 10 of what Americans are worried about? But 50%, 50.0, half of folk are just worried about pollution of drinking water. Number one, you got well water out there that we provide for you absolutely free of charge. It's been tested. It's pure, it's clean, it's healthy as it can be. And put a filter. I drink filtered water. I either drink well water or filtered water. I generally will not drink bottled water if I can help it. I drink filtered water with a really good filter, and I drink that well water. See, this is what I'm saying. Some things, instead of worrying about it, do something about it. And then you can do about the pollution of the drinking water. What you can do is the water you drink. And most of the time, it's not polluted water that's killing folk. It's the fact they're not drinking enough water, period. So, number seven, pollution of drinking water. Number eight, 49.5%, biological warfare. Now, I don't know what COVID-19 is or was. Whether it was created in a lab on purpose, whether it escaped from a lab, whether it was natural, I don't know. I'm not concerned about biological terrorism or biological warfare, first of all, because that's stuff difficult to do. Second, you need to have yourself in some good shape anyhow. Period. Anyhow. Number one, no biological weapon kills everybody, even anthrax, which is probably the deadliest of the biotoxins. Anthrax will only kill 90% of the folk. But why don't it kill 100%? Because there's 10% of them just resistant. You need to make sure you're on that resistant end. So no matter what is coming, because most of the stuff, most of our death, our illness, and our sickness is not coming from biological terrorism. It's coming from stuff we're doing. So once you do what you're supposed to do for the day, don't worry about all this other stuff. Number nine, cyber terrorism. Nothing you can do about that. Yeah, they may attack the network. We had one of the major phone carriers where the service went down for a while, and people were saying that may be cyber terrorism. You know, that would affect more folk than anything else, just their phone wouldn't work. That puts some folks in a real... That'll put some folks in a real mess if them phones didn't work. So that can be a problem. But no need you worrying about it, because there's nothing you can do about cyber terrorism. And number 10, 48% not having enough money for the future. If you're worried about that, you need to come to the Render My Money class every first Friday for the first half of the year. Learn how to save money. And this is why C. Elijah announced what we did in the Men of Vision. And basically what we did is this. I offered the men a cash prize. They had to have three things. Number one, they had to have been in the meeting from the start. The next meeting, they had to bring proof that they had an automatic investment going into a fund that was S&P 500 based. And they had to show the proof. And if they did that, they would get a certain amount of money. Now, the reason why we did that is because the S&P 500 and investing in that is the most solid investment that you can do from the experts. The S&P beats 80% of all of the expert investors. Very few people beat the S&P. And it's safe. So we had to have those two things. Number one, you had to have it automatic, where it automatically deducted from your checking or savings account. It automatically deducted, and it automatically went into that fund every month or every week. It had to be automatic, and you had to have proof. And that was the thing. So even not having enough money for the future, that's usually the result of not doing the thing you needed to do today. That's usually the result of that. Jesus said again in verse 30, these things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. Now, Jesus only operated in a very small sphere of geographical influence in his day. But he said, these thoughts dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. A group of college graduates who were well established in their careers, they met at a reunion, and while they were talking, they decided to go visit their old retired university professor. And during their visit, the conversation turned to their complaints about stress in their work and all of the issues and the problems that they were having. So the old professor, he started offering his former students hot chocolate. And the professor went into the kitchen, and he came back with a large pot of hot chocolate and an assortment of cups, porcelain, glass, crystal, some plain-looking, some expensive, some exquisite. And he told them just help themselves to all of the hot chocolate they wanted. And when they had all had a cup of hot chocolate in hand, the professor looked at him and he said, I want you to notice that all of the nice-looking cups are taken. You left the plain and the cheap ones. He said, it's normal for you to only want the best for yourselves. He said, but that's the source of all y'all's problems and stress. He said, the cup that you're drinking from adds nothing to the quality of the hot chocolate. In most cases, it's just more expensive, and in some cases, even hides what we drink. What all of you really wanted was hot chocolate, not the cup, but you consciously went for the best cups. And then you began looking at other folks' cups. Now consider this. Life is the hot chocolate. Your job, money, and position in society are the cups. They are just tools to hold and contain life. The cup that you have does not define nor change the quality of life you have. Sometimes by concentrating only on the cup, we fail to enjoy the hot chocolate that God has provided for us. Now, normally I don't drink hot chocolate. This is the first hot chocolate I've had in years, but I must admit, just some good hot chocolate. But And I have it in three different containers. One is a paper cup from the establishment where I got the hot chocolate this morning. The other is a glass mason jar with a handle on it. And the other is a huge 50-ounce ceramic, beautiful mug. Three different price points. Three different levels of container. None of the containers have a thing to do with the hot chocolate. It tastes the same from any of the three containers. And often we get so worked up, conscious of, considerate of the container and not recognize the life. God makes the hot chocolate. Man chooses the cups. The happiest people don't have the best of everything. They just make the best of everything that you have. Enjoy your hot chocolate. Enjoy the day.
Praise God. That was a very profound message and just reminds us the important things in life. Sometimes we forget about, we chase so much stuff, and we sometimes forget the simple pleasures of life, the important things in life. And so we're just grateful that the Holy Spirit just sent us this reminder to enjoy the day. Relationships are the basis of life. Love is the most important thing in life. And we are just so grateful to have this reminder today of the hot chocolate and just to enjoy the day. Someone said the best thing in life is love. The best time to love is now. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. We're grateful for the beautiful sunshine. We enjoy outdoors. Just a cool breeze. Grateful for our loved ones and health and strength. Grateful to enjoy a relationship with God. Grateful to use our gifts and talents to grow and to share. Grateful to travel. Grateful to see beautiful things. Grateful to just relax and enjoy the day. Grateful to enjoy a good book. Grateful to enjoy a beautiful song. Grateful to hug your child or your spouse. Grateful to take a walk. Grateful to just sit down and watch a bird fly or an ant carry a piece of grass across the ground. It's the simple things in life, simple gifts in life that God gives us. And so we're just grateful for Pastor Nathaniel sharing this, not to worry about all this stuff, but to enjoy the wonderful gifts of God today. When I was driving to church this morning, the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, you won't believe this. You won't believe, you would think I'm making this up, but he said, enjoy the day. He said, enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. He said, every day is a gift. Every day is precious. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. Praise God. Every head bowed for just a moment. If there's anybody here today, if you want to give your heart to the Lord and you want to receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you want to rededicate your life to Him, or if you want to join the church, The doors of the church are open for membership. So if you would like to respond to either of those invitations, we invite you to come at this time. You want to invite the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? You want to rededicate your life to Him? Or if you want to join the church, we'll give you an opportunity to come. If you want to come for either of those invitations. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 Well, we love you so much. And man, we just enjoy the day. We enjoy the day. Enjoy the day. Every day is a gift. Every day is precious. Love while you can. Praise God. Don't waste a moment. And that's what he was saying. Don't waste a minute of it worrying. Don't waste a minute of it angry. Don't waste a minute of it trying to get revenge or sulking or, man, don't waste it. Life is precious and it's a wonderful gift. Praise God. Stand to your feet. Amen. What a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Go get you some hot chocolate today. When we came back from Grenada, I was looking around. I said, where can I get my wife, my daughters, where can I take them back as a gift? And that's what I chose. I chose hot chocolate. I brought them two assortments of hot chocolate. One was a powder, and the other one was these little chocolate balls that you just drop in water. So I might go home and have me some hot chocolate. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for this beautiful, beautiful day that you allow us to enjoy. This is the day that the Lord has made. In it, I will be glad and rejoice. Thank you for allowing us to enjoy the day. Thank you for your precious people, Lord, that are here. Thank you for blessing them and doing them good. And Lord, we're just so grateful. And allow us to just enjoy every day and to share your love with others everywhere we go. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say amen.
I thank you for joining us today at Brothers of the Word. Because, brother, you need the Word.
You are listening to brothersoftheword.com. This was the message titled Enjoy the Day by Nathaniel Bronner. This message is number 2031. That's 2031. To listen to thousands of free messages or to send this message number 2031 to a friend, go to brothersoftheword.com.
If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to help support this ministry, go to iwanttogive.com. That's iwanttogive.com.
Listen to brothersoftheword.com often, because brother, you need the word.